So the message is a long one, but God will help me to deliver within the shortest time I have. He kept giving and I kept writing, but you know, because it's when it has to do with story, you have to tell all the story, not just come to say it. But the message itself is taken from the book of 2 Kings. It's a book we are very familiar with. I know some of us, we have tutors here. We have a lot of people who are theologians here. Please just open your heart and let God speak to you. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. It's a lot, but I will just be picking what I need. If I can have it in NIV, because I have NIV here, so that people can follow through. It's easy for me to read on my Bible sometimes. Praise the Lord. So Elijah replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says." Look at it. Who is Elijah? A prophet, a man of God, just like me, just like any of us. He said, "Hear what? The word of the Lord." And as I was preparing this, God said to me that, as servant of God, we got to be careful what we declare. Because the Bible says, who is he that speak? And it come to what? Pass. When the Lord hath not ordained. Before we declare the word, we must hear what? Clearly from God. Because there's danger if we don't hear from God. And you go and tell the people of God, hear the word of God. They will hold you accountable. They will wait for that word to be what? To be fulfilled. And the word that you are trying to deliver to them, when we read it down, you will understand what I mean when I start sharing the message. If we deliver it and there are people who are the one behind the siege over such people, and you are declaring deliverance for them, that person will not be happy. That person will want to go after you. But if God has spoken through you, and it's the word of God that you are delivering, God who has spoken through you, we do what? We defend you. So that's one aspect for the ministers of the word. Hear from God before you speak. Say, hear what? It's not saying hear the word of Elisha. Hear the word of who? Of the Lord. And say, this is what the Lord says. It's not saying this is what Elisha says. This is what the Lord says. He said about this time tomorrow. Specific. Specific. Pastor always say before you, when you are praying, be specific. Don't just generalize. We like to generalize. Lord, bless me. With what? Specific. About this time tomorrow, a share of fine flour will be what? We sell for a shekel. And 2 shares of barley for a shekel. At the gate of where? Samaria. Where are you? At the gate of where? Bethel. Praise God. Verse 2. The officer on whose arm the king was what? Leaning. Said to the man of God, "Look, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgate of heaven, could this happen? Could this happen?" The Bible says, anyone that doubts in his mind, we know what? We not receive. There has been a siege over some people's life. And their time of deliverance came. And the word that we delivered them came. And a person even close to the king, close, eventually maybe close to the pastor, close to the prophet, close to the people who uphold the power, close to them that are supposed to walk in line with the vision. He doubted. He said, even though God will open the floodgates of heavens, could this thing be? So what does that mean? The situation they have been through has been what? Terrific. Has been really what? Bad. Let me tell you this morning, even though your life is in a mess, God can take you from that mess to a place of what? Glorification. He looked at the situation. Now, he wasn't just speaking out of the blue. He already looked at the situation. Peradventure, you are looking at your situation this morning, your circumstance, and you are thinking, oh, I've gone too far, too deep in this situation. Even though God will open the floodgate of heaven, could this happen? And we'll look at it. And the prophet, the man of God, the Bible says, he who believes in the word of the word, of the word, of the prophet. And who is a prophet? Whoever God has placed over you to be your shepherd, to watch over you. Said that person will do what? Will receive the word. When you will get the fruit of what the prophet is saying, you will benefit. If you don't believe in it, He now said, the prophet now said to him, you will see it with your eyes, answered Elisha, but you will not what? Eat of it. Praise the Lord. That will not be a portion in the name of Jesus. So what am I saying? That's why we need to be careful. When a word is spoken, don't just take it for granted. You need to act on it. You need to believe. And we talk about it. Faith is so important. Time will not permit me to read everything, but I'm going to be picking from it. But just to give you a little bit of background to the story, you just heard, I'm telling you, you heard that about this time tomorrow, God will do something specific. But why did the word come? If you go back, that's how when you read the Bible, go back to see the preceding story. If you go back to chapter 6 of that same second king, from verse 8, that same second king, okay, from verse 8, he said, now the king of Syria was making war against who? Israel. And he consulted with his servant, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware, you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. This was Elisha. Overhead, what? The king of who? Syria. They are planning to do something against who? The people of Samaria. And who? Elisha, the prophet, overhead. And he leaked the secret. He gave the secret to the king. He said, look, don't pass through here. Specific word, instruction. What is God telling you? Which way are you plowing this year? And God is saying, don't go there. You need to hear and you don't go there. And he gave the instruction. That's why he said, well, be careful. When you are a prophet, you are a man of God, God is giving you a message. There are dangers attached to it. The person that you know is involved in it may try to do what? Go after you. But the scriptures say, greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. If God is the one who has sent you the word, he will do what? He will back up the word. So he gave the instruction to the, you know, to the king. Don't pass through here. And guess what happened? And the king of who? The king of Syria heard about it. He was not happy that his secret just what got leaked. Every enemy behind your struggling, their secret will be exposed in the name of Jesus. And in verse 14 of that chapter, he said, therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the what? The city. And Elisha has who? He has a servant that walked with him. And he was so fearful when he saw all this thing that is happening. So when the servant saw, he said, oh, my master, look, they surrounded us. But he couldn't see. His spiritual eyes was what? Blinded. You read it down from verse 15. And Elisha had to pray to God and say, God, open who? The eyes of my what? Servant, that he may see. And what did he see? And Elisha prayed and said to the Lord, verse 17, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of what? Horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If you are a prophet of God, if you are a man of God, if God is using you as an instrument to bring deliverance to his people, he will be with you. He will support you. That's why I'm saying, don't go on a journey that God is not sending you. God, even though you are saying, God, whatever you are doing, don't do it without me. Make sure you are sent to do what you are doing. And make sure that you hear what God wants to do in your life. That is these two perspectives. The people that God will use and you that you will benefit, you need to be able to do what? Have a spiritual sight to see it. Praise the Lord. And because of all these things that happened because of time, go and read the whole book of the Second Kings chapter 6. Because of what happened and the secret was leaked, the king of Syria was not happy at all. And what did he now do? It happened that, and after that, he said verse 24, and it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up to besiege who? Samaria, the people of God, those who God have elected to be a blessing, to bless. He besieged them with famine, and the famine was so intense that women started to do what? Collaborating together to kill their sons for food. And it got to a point, they've done one, they've accomplished one, And when it was a turn of another woman, she cried out. She cried out. And the king of Samaria, heard about it. He said, oh, how can this happen? He said, this person gave her son for what? Food. Now it's mine. But she doesn't want to give it. And the king was in his spirit. And look at what Elisha has done to leak the secret. But the king of Samaria was now fearful. He said, oh, the head of Elisha must come down. For this he did. Look at God used Elisha to help him. But because of what is now happening, he wanted to go after Elisha, somebody that God is using to be your rescuer. Sometimes we need to see what God is doing and know the enemy to attack and not to attack our rescuer. I pray the Lord will open our eyes in the name of Jesus. So what am I saying here? The siege was too much for them. They were in famine and women were killing their own sons for food. It was a terrible situation. So what is God speaking to you from this? So what are you going to look at yourself? There are different perspectives, different categories of people in this story. We have the king of Samaria. You know, his people was besieged. He became fearful, and he was trying to go after the person that God, the man of God, has used to be a blessing, to leak the secret to him. And we have the king of Syria, the intimidator, the oppressor, who wants to put people under, that even though heaven is open, I don't want people to enter. And he wants to continue to put a siege over them. Or are you in the category of the Samaritan? Are you among the oppressed, the Samaritan, the oppressed? So what kind of oppression are you facing now? Are you Elisha? Are you the prophet of God that God is bringing the word to, the word that will deliver people? So what are you trying to do with the word? Are you hiding the word and say, oh, I'm not going to tell them, just like Jonah. Go tell the people of Nineveh that their sin has what? Escalated and I'm about to destroy them. He heard the word. Say, how can I tell them? Because I know if I should tell them, they will repent and God will deliver them. Look at this. Are you that kind of prophet? Or you are like Elisha, who saw what is happening and he delivered the message, but he heard clearly from God. Or are you king? Why are you King Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, oppressing people? When we talk about oppressing people, there are different ways we oppress people. Sometimes the information we know about people, we use it to oppress them. Are you in the category of people who will use the information that you already know about people to oppress them? Or are you in the category of people that we hear about the intimidation, what is about to befall people, and you will share it or you pray? If you can't share it, you will pray about it. It's not every time that God reveals something, sometimes we should share. You should be careful. Especially if you have not heard clearly from God. If it's something that just come to you, you need to be careful because there's always what? Repercussion to everything. Elisha heard it. He said it. Look at what happened. The king was going after him, but God delivered him from the hand of the king so that the word of God can be fulfilled. And that's how we came to what? Chapter 7. Where he said, Elisha now said, let's go back to that chapter 7. He said, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. The people that have been besieged, the people that have been suffering. Are you suffering in poverty? Is your business going down the drain? Have you invested all your time praying? Have you invested money into something substantial and you are hoping for a reward from it? And there has been some siege over it. You know, poverty has a spirit. There's a spirit that rules over what? Poverty. Because the Bible says, I wish above all things that you and I would prosper and be in health as I so prospered. Our God is the God of what? All and prosperity. God is not behind the siege. God is not behind the situation that we are going through. God is not behind what? Scarcity. God is not a... He doesn't... He said, Philippians 4:19, we always read it. Say, but my what? I want you to say it to yourself. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus, which means you must have a relationship with Jesus for God to what? Supply your need. God already know that we will pass through certain situations. I like Isaiah 43, go read it. He said, when you pass through, it's not if, when it is certain that at times we experience some low valley, we experience some situations like the people of Samaria, they were besieged by an evil king. But God is always there to rescue his own people. He's always there to deliver in times of what? Trouble. The Bible says God is our present help in time of what? When you are in trouble, can you lean back and say, God, you got my back. I don't have to worry. The servant of Elisha was so worried when he saw what the Assyrian, surrounded the city. And he was so worried. But Elisha wanted him to see something. Say, God, open his eyes. Our eyes need to be open to see the help that is around us. God is our help. Our present word is ever-present help in time of trouble. But our eyes need to open to be able to do what? To be able to see the God that we have. God is fighting for us. We sing the song. I say, in the name of Jesus. Enemies are what? They are defeated. And when enemies are defeated, we are going what? Higher and higher. When the shackles are broken, we are going what? Higher and higher. Divine acceleration. Praise Lord. So now you've heard it all, the story. Don't do it without me. And you've heard the categories of the people. The king, King Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, an evil king. The king of Samaria, fearful because of what? What befell his people. The Samaritan people, the oppressed. Elisha, the prophet. Elisha's servant, the fearful. But God opened his eyes to see. So which of them are you? What is your own fit there? When don't do it without me. Are you the one God wants to use to bring deliverance to people? Or are you the one in need of deliverance? So you need to be able to see yourself this morning through the word of God. So now you are saying, don't do it without me. What do you have to do? You and I, what do we need to do to be a part of what God is doing in this season, in this year of open heaven, in this year wherein what? The siege is over. In this month of accelerated divine acceleration, in this year where God said there will be answers to prayer, there will be what? There will be bountiful what? Harvest. In this year where God is saying he will release both the latter and the former rain all together. He said he will accumulate, he will gather them and deliver to us in 1 month. God told Abraham, as far as you can see. So whatever category you are, whether you are the one God wants to use to bring deliverance, or you are the one in need of deliverance from the siege of the enemy, what do you need to do? You have a part to play. I have a part to play. So what do we need to do to be a part of what God is doing in this season so that he will not do it without us? And the number one thing is faith. Faith is so key. We talk about it on Sunday school. Hebrew 11:1 says, now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? Do you even hope for something? Some people don't even hope for anything. They just take what life brings to them. That is not how to live life. You need to live life positively. Being faithful is living life positively. Be positive about life. Even though what you are seeing is terrible. The people of Samaria, they saw terrible things. But there's something positive that God can do there. Praise the Lord. You know, when their time was over and the thing happened, you know, time didn't permit. You know, who did God even use? There was some category of people that I was almost forgetting about them. 4 lepers. If you go back to that chapter 7, before I give you the highlight of what I have here. 4 lepers. Look at it. So now there were 4 lepers, verse 3 of that chapter 7, men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? 4 lepers. If we say we will enter the city, the farmer is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us what? Surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, if they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. But did they die? No. By the time they took a step of faith, they are the one I want to use to connect with this faith. You know, when they took that step of faith, they said, if we sit here, the famine is here. If we go to this place, the Syrian, if they keep us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. But they took a step of faith. And God did what? Magnify their feet, the feet of 10 lepers, helpless people. Do you see yourself in the category of leper this morning? I'm not saying you are a leprous person, meaning that they are in need. But God used them. God can use anybody, even with your own need. God can use you. God used the four lepers, and they went, and the Syrian, I mean, they heard the tapping of their feet, and they left everything. And the lepers, they went in, they ate to their full. I like what they did. They didn't stop there. They took back the good news to the king. Because if they just eat, some of us, we get to a place of deliverance, and only me, you just eat and stay there and forget the other people who are suffering. Are you in that category? Let me just eat my own. I don't care about other people. You got to care about other people. It's not all about you. In their blessing is your blessing. The lepers, God used them to bring that word to pass. The man at the gate, he said, can this happen? And there was a curse. You will not partake. And what happened? When it did happen, he was crushed down. If you read it to the last verse of that chapter 7. And so it happened to him. For the people trampled him in the gate and he died. They put him, when the salvation came, the same king put him at the gate there. People were rushing in to go take what belongs to them from the enemy, going to the camp of the enemy to take what belongs. And he was trampled to death. That will not be a portion in the name of Jesus. That is the effect of not having faith. Unbelief is deadly. You got to believe. You must what? I said number one thing, you must what? Have faith in God, that God can do anything, anytime, regardless of what situation you are. And the second point, what you need to do to be a partaker of what God is doing in this season, so that you won't be left behind, you must be determined. Determination. Say determination. Determination. You know, second king. You know what? Those leopards, they were determined. They said, if we sit here, famine is here. If we go surrender to the hand of the enemy, they save us. We leave. If they kill us, we go. But did they die? No. Sometimes we are fearful of the situation. Just like what? The servant of Elisha. He was fearful of the situation. We don't need to be afraid. You know, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us the spirit of love and of sound what? Mind. That will help us to what? To be determined that when we're in a situation, whatever we need to do, what is God telling you to do this year? Don't just sit down. There's something you have to do for what God is doing in this season, for you not to be excluded, for you to be included among the number that God wants to bless, that God wants to elevate this year. You got to do something. Number one, I said what? Have faith. And the second one, I said, you must have what? Determination. Praise the Lord. And the third one, know that God works things together in your favor. Don't be afraid of the situation. No, after you have faith and you are determined, you know, when you are determined to get something, you will know that it doesn't matter the situation. I know my God will work it around for my word, in my favor. And God's pastor said something this morning. That's why I said all the message has been preached. If you have been listening, he said the tide is turning in somebody's favor. Said the tide is turning in my favor. In the name of Jesus. Deliverance is here. It's not coming tomorrow. Here now. But you must know that all things, don't let your situation cloud your judgment to disbelieve what God is saying. Romans 8:25, it says that if you therefore hope for that which you do not see, you therefore wait for it. How? How should you wait for it? Patiently. You wait for it with what? Patiently. The people, they waited for it patiently. And they got to the promise. God used four lepers when it was looking like it wasn't possible. God can use anybody, anything, at any time to rescue. But we must have faith, we must be determined, and we must know that God can work things together. And that Romans 8:28 said, and we know that all what things work together for good. For them that are what? Called according to his purpose. Who is, are you called according to his purpose? God has a plan for you. Say, God has a plan for me. And that plan will be fulfilled. But I must have faith. And I must be determined. And I must understand that God will work it out in my favor in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be in the name of Jesus. The number 14, you need a spiritual sight to gaze into God's plan. Elisha, God was able to reveal the secret of who? Of the king of Assyria, of Syria. To who? To the king of Samaria. And he asked God to open the eyes of his servant. You need what? To be able to what? You need to have a spiritual sight. And Pastor said this year, we must be able to see it. We must be able to hear it. He said behind you, you will hear the voice. When you turn to the right, to the left, this is the way to go. Go there. Many of us, we are going in the way of the crowd. You can't go in the way of the crowd. The scripture says there is a way that seems right to men, but the end of it is what? Destruction. When I'm going on a journey, I look at how many people are going on that journey. I don't go in the journey of too many people. That's my, I look at it. Why do we have few people going in this place and we have a lot? And oftentimes, the way of the crowd sometimes, it might change, but you need to be able to design it, to know when to go with the crowd and know when not to go with the crowd. And go with the two. Sometimes I'm not afraid to be the only one on a journey, but I know I'm not the only one with God on my side. I can do what he has promised for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Number five, you need focus. You must focus on God, not on the situation. Focus on God. The man at the gate, focus on the situation. How shall this thing be, even though God will open the floodgates? That is lack of focus. No determination, no faith. No understanding that God can turn the tide around in his favor. The prophet, the servant also need to what? To be focused. To have what? Not to focus on the situation, but to focus on who? On God. The number 16, he said, take a step of faith. Not just having faith. Some of us, we have faith. We are people of faith. But faith without work is what? So what do you have to do? So this morning, what is God speaking to you? Where do you fit in the message of today? Don't do it without me. What is God saying to you this morning? What do you need to be a part of what God is doing this year, in this season? How is your faith? How is your determination? How is your understanding of how God can turn things in your favor? What can you see? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? How focused are you? And how are you willing? How are you prepared to take a step of faith? You know, I like Joyce Meyer. I say, do it fearfully. Even though when it's fearful, do it fearfully. Even living self, we are living fearfully. But the fearfully we are living is not that we don't have faith. We are living. You don't know what will happen. But in the midst of uncertainty, we have God on our side. Say, with God on our side, we can do what? We can achieve so much. We can do all things. I want you to rise up this morning. I don't know what God is speaking to you. I don't know the category you are. If you are in the category of the evil king, what is God saying to you? Do you need to change? And don't oppress people. If you are in the category of the king of Samaria, leading the people, the suffering, what do you need to have faith in God, to trust God? If you're in the category of the suffering, what do you need to do? What is God saying to you? If you're in the category of the intimidator, what is God saying to you? And for you to benefit of God's blessing this year, what do you and I have to do? I want you to prayerfully talk to God and say this morning, Lord, whatever you are doing in this season, don't do it without me. Is God calling you to use you as a vessel? Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me, Lord. Is God calling you to send you to the oppressed? Are you turning your ears and saying, no, Lord, it's not me? The scripture says, if you turn your ears at the crying of the suffering ones, it says, you will cry and nobody will hear. If we turn our ears to the suffering ones, and refusing to do what we need to do, who is God laying in your heart to help this year so that we can all get up together? Divine acceleration. I don't want to see myself and my husband alone there. I want to see you all so that we rise up. In your blessing is our blessing. When I rise up, you rise up. That is good for everybody. It's not it alone. No, it's for everyone. Are you suffering? What is God telling you to do? You need to seek help and be open to hear the voice of God. Be open to receive. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord. And are you here this morning? You don't even have a relationship with God. This is your time. Because that is where your journey begins. If you don't want God to do it without you, that's where your journey begins. You can play the song, "Don't Do It Without Me." That is where your journey begins. You are watching online. You are here. You don't have a relationship with God. And you want to be a part of the number that God wants to bless this year. To be blessed this year. You must develop a relationship. Why don't you talk to God and say, "Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I confess you as the Lord and my Savior. Forgive my sin and take me as your own from today on so that I can be a part of what you are doing. I want to be an instrument to your kingdom, and I want to be a partaker of your blessing too. Thank you, Lord Jesus."